London. Since the days of the Roman Empire, London's been a bustling hub of business and culture on the banks of the Thames. Today, tourists flock there to take in its history and classic sites. But in a city as exciting as this, things don't stay the same for long. I'm joined now by three expert guides to London, Tom Hooper, Gillian Chadwick, and Roy Nichols. And they're going to update us on what's new in this very old city and help us focus on what to enjoy and even what to avoid on your next visit to London. Tom, Gillian, and Roy, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome.
Hello there.
So the big news is the Olympics. You guys survived the Olympics.
Yep.
I was impressed before the Olympics how England was learning from other countries who had had big investments and vast unusable spaces and big debts as a heritage. Mm. How has London done the Olympics from a long-term investment point of view? Gillian?
A huge amount of thought went into the legacy of the Olympics before the games themselves. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing now is they're developing the perimeter of the park with living accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
All of the sports venues will be available, not just for big events, but for schools. The stadium will have school sports in it, which is quite remarkable, plus concerts as well.
And the location itself for the Olympics was interesting to me. You didn't choose a nice place. You didn't choose a beautiful place. You chose a very rough and relatively poor working class town,
yep.
Stratford, not to be confused with Stratford-upon-Avon, which is a cute town in the countryside where everybody sees Shakespeare, but a suburb of London called Stratford. Why did London choose a rundown, dangerous community with no good infrastructure, Tom?
Well, one thing it did have was, as it happens, hugely good transport links.
Oh, it did? Before?
It did have that, partly through the historical legacy of railworks there.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the site was deliberately chosen because it was toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And only a project of this size could ever have brought that land back into use, with all the soil having to be washed to get rid of the...
So that was a big investment.
Big investment. There was a lot of emphasis on making sure that everything was sustainable. So there's a lot of emphasis on taking waste and deliveries, but to the site being through things like trains and through even using the canals.
And all of the buildings constructed for the Olympics could be economically retrofitted to have a value for the community long after the Olympics.
Yeah, as the stadium.
Athletes' quarters turned into affordable housing.
Yeah.
The venues turned into places we use today.
And the park itself, there's going to be double the amount of greenery in the park than there was during the Games. And that was one of the features that people loved the most, how much... Yeah. Hmm. Green and flowers and meadows.
So all in all, Roy Nichols, has it been a good thing for Britain?
Oh, I think it has. I mean, it's brought an incredible amount of visitors into Britain, raised the profile of Britain, and that really has a knock-on effect for over the next few years.
Well, congratulations. Oh, now the next thing that's going on when I go to London is the ever-changing skyline. I thought I knew the skyline, and all of a sudden there's this funny-looking, like a cucumber or something sticking up. What is that, Roy?
The gherkin.
The
French call it the suppository.
Oh, it's actually called the gherkin.
The gherkin.
There are other names, as Gillian says.
That's why I caught Roy by surprise. Can we say that? Let's call it a big cucumber, okay, Roy?
The first thing that came to mind is not repeatable on.
But you've got this big new building, and it does. Is the
British... Well, it's
that's not new anymore.
It's not new anymore. Yeah. It's been quite a few years.
It's old hat.
And what is that building?
The latest one is the Shard.
Which is the tallest
building. But the newest ones are the cheese grater and the walkie-talkie.
Wait a minute. So I knew the gherkin, which is old news, but to me it wasn't there when Christopher Wren was doing stuff.
No.
And you've got the cucumber, you got the cheese grater, you got the walkie-talkie, and the shard.
The shard.
This is so
something people think it's not finished, don't they?
Yes.
So what are these things? What's the walkie-talkie, Tom?
Well, the walkie-talkie, like many of them, are going to be office blocks, but one of the amazing things about these...
Does it look like a walkie-talkie?
It looks like narrow at the top, wide at the...
narrow at the bottom.
Narrow at the bottom, wide at the top. So it looks like a walkie-talkie. The thing is with that development is you have to give some public space when you do it.
Was that part of the deal?
That's part of the deal. And they've done it at the top.
Oh.
So they're creating one of the biggest indoor conservatories.
Nice.
Could be like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
It is.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's probably smart development too, because you only got so much footprint and you do your civic duty by sticking the public area on top.
And it is, all of those are controversial in some way, but is it not the walkie-talkie where they've had all the problems over the concentration?
The reflection.
Well, the reflection.
Yes, they had these windows which just happened to reflect sun, and a Jaguar parked down in the street below.
And was melted.
Melted it.
It did a magnifying glass kind of reflection on the Jaguar.
Yeah, melted all the rubber on there.
Oh, no.
Fire has always been important in the history of London, so, you know.
There you go. What's the cheese grater?
It's
offices as well, isn't it?
It looks like a cheese grater. So one side is angled.
It's to protect the views of St. Paul's from the east.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, because I love when I'm in the city, being able to see the elegant, stately old steeples of Christopher Wren and the Dome of St. Paul's. Mm-hmm. And how effectively are they enforcing these laws that protect various lines of sight?
Quite strictly now, much more. So in fact, they've just demolished a building right next to St. Paul's. Mm. Because that is an ugly building and they want to replace it with something more sympathetic.
Bravo, Britain. Now, if you're a sightseer, of all these buildings, of course, we can look at them and we can marvel at them and we can give them goofy nicknames. Is there anything actually to do from a sightseeing point of view? Can you go up these buildings?
Well, you will be able to go up the conservatory. They're already marking it by saying the view is for everybody.
And which one is that?
And that's the walkie-talkie.
You can scale the walkie-talkie.
You can pay to go up to the Shard viewing deck.
And what is the shard?
It looks like shards of glass.
Yeah. Okay.
People think it's not finished.
Yes, they do.
Now, these are buildings that I'm sure are controversial when they're new, but in your estimate, 10 years from now, will people go, yes, that's part of our skyline? It's correct?
Yeah, they will.
Definitely.
I think so.
That's what we do.
There's one really useful one to know about. It's a shopping centre right opposite St. Paul's. You can go up onto the sixth floor. And you have the most fantastic views.
A shopping center. Everybody goes to St. Paul's. So there's a high-rise shopping center and great views from the sixth floor.
It has the best view of the dome you could possibly have, and it's free.
It's called One New Change. Yeah.
One New Change. Mm-hmm. That's the address?
That's the address.
The street is New Change.
Just be confident, walk in, catch the lift, as you would say, elevator to the sixth floor, and you get this,
enjoy the
Gillian
view.
Says, this
nice
fabulous
advice. Something very exciting about London is the development of the East End. And I was looking at the tube map. And, we know the Circle Line and all the tangle of subway lines, or as you would say, tube lines in London. And it's like there's a parallel network of these that's emerging, just growing right out of the urban soil to the east in the Docklands. And 150 years ago, this was the mightiest dock in all the world, I believe. And then it was run down. And now it's seen as land that can be invested in.
Absolutely.
And all the big corporations and so on are there. It's a great chance to feel the 9-to-5 energy. As a sightseer, as a tourist, what should we know about the East End, the Docklands?
Well, the Royal Docks are being taken over practically. China have invested £1 billion to make a big business centre specifically for Asian companies.
Is that right?
So that's really having a big effect.
Physically, it is like Manhattan. It's just a forest of skyscrapers.
There's the cable car as well.
The city has sort of shifted
to the east, really. I noticed there's a very good connection from Westminster right to the Docklands.
Jubilee Line.
And this makes sense because you got all your important people in Westminster area near the government and everything, and they can zip right out there.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is the Docklands Light Railway, which was developed in tandem.
I guess my point is this is the Manhattan of London. It's easy to get there by the Docklands Elevated Railway or by the Met.
And that's a good way to see it as well, because you go through the area and you can see it as you go through it.
Gillian, you mentioned the cable car. What is that?
It's not really a cable car, actually. It's a gondola that goes across the River Thames.
A gondola going across the River Thames?
Yeah, but in the air, not the Venetian one.
like a Swiss ski resort
gondola.
Yeah,
that's right.
Instead of a Venetian gondola. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Tom Hooper, Gillian Chadwick, and Roy Nichols about what's new in London. Just to wrap things up, Tom, Gillian, and Roy, one last tip about some sightseeing thrill that's news. Tom Hooper.
Well, the news for me is come to London to the Pompeii of the North.
Pompeii of the North?
Yes, which is named because there's a site which Bloomberg's are developing.
The Bloomberg, the media group.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have found over 10,000 artifacts, particularly from Roman times, and it's preserved because the river that once flowed through it, called the Warbrook, has made sure there's no oxygen, so even the timber structures.
Wow. So this is Bloomberg money that's helping this big site that's now digging up stuff from ancient Roman times. The nickname is Pompeii of the North. What's the real name?
Well, it is the Bloomberg site.
The Bloomberg site.
It's Warbrook.
All right.
The river.
Gillian Chadwick, what's new in London for you?
Anyone who's a fan of Shakespeare will go to the Globe Theatre in the summertime and see an outdoor performance. They've now got a new indoor theatre named after Inigo Jones, not Indigo, as sometimes people mistakenly think. So a new theatre in London to see Shakespeare's plays.
Royal Shakespeare Company or just Shakespeare?
No, it's not the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Okay, a new dimension to
it's
the Globe Theatre.
Part of the Globe,
an additional bit to it.
And Roy, what would you remind people is new?
My favourite would be, and my suggestion would be to go and see the Cutty Sark, that great tea clipper of the 19th century, which went through a disastrous fire a couple of years ago, has gone through a huge amount of restoration, and is still and is now one of the great
clippership before the age, just before the steam engines.
The very fast ships that would go out to China and bring back the tea as quick as they could to get the very best prices, and they are the finest example of square rig sailing ships from the 19th century when
they restored it after that terrible fire. And that's it's in Greenwich,
in Greenwich, in dry dock in Greenwich,
just down the Thames from London. Roy and Gillian and Tom, thank you so much for getting us up to date on London.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Each year, Rick Steves tour guides take free-spirited travelers on escorted tours through England, Scotland, Ireland, and beyond, one small group at a time. This year, we're featuring tours of the best of Ireland, the best of Scotland, the best of England, and London. For a free catalogue and Rick's Tour Experience DVD, visit the tour pages at ricksteves.com.